All right, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to grab them and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're beginning this new series today I'm very excited about. As you saw in the bumper video, we're calling it More, A Living Faith. And that is the title of my message today. The Lord has been taking me on a personal journey lately. I don't know when it started, where it started. It's just kind of been increasingly gradual in my life. Just this desire for more. More of His presence in my life. I've been asking the Lord to give me more of a desire to spend more time in His Word with Him in prayer. I want Him to use me more to be a blessing to others, for Him to get more glory for my life. I want more of Him. And I don't want this just for me. I want this for our church as well, that we would be a people that longs for more of God, that we would refuse to settle for just going through the motions, that we would throw off any idea of just being a part of empty religious activity that is void of the Spirit of God, that we wouldn't be satisfied with where we are, but instead, as a church, just what we talked about last week, and if you missed last week's message, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's kind of a message for our church in this season, where we are as a church. But my prayer is that we would collectively long for and do whatever it takes to have that mindset. That God, whatever it takes, we're going to reach one more for Christ and work like crazy to make it happen. God, give us more. Trust us with more. Help us accomplish more for Your kingdom. This is where I am, and this is where I want our church. Praying for more. Expecting more. And that's what led me to Hebrews chapter 11. Because from a biblical perspective, many of those that we look up to in Scripture, the reason they experienced more of God is because they had faith. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 is mentioned as the hall of faith. All of these people who experienced more of God in their life had one thing in common, and it's that they had a living faith. We'll see this in this study as we make our way through it this fall. You've got men like Noah and Moses and Adam, people who are well known in the Scripture. You have the lesser knowns in Scripture that are highlighted for their faith. People like Abel, we'll look at his life next week, or Enoch and Rahab. You've got no names listed in Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, and they're recognized for their faith, and as a result of their faith, they all experience more of the presence of God, more of His glory, all because they exhibited this living faith. I read this quote from Jim Simbla, who's the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, last week. I read it again here because it encapsulates how I'm feeling, what I'm longing for on behalf of our church. He said, "I despaired at the thought that my life might slip by without seeing God show Himself mightily on our behalf." So this series is all about preparing our hearts for more. And again, those who experience more, they experience more of God because they had a living faith. And so here's what I want to do as we begin this series. I want us to define faith from the Scripture. What is faith? Then we'll move into describing faith. What does faith look like? What does it do? Why is it important to have faith? How can we grow in our faith? And then we'll end our time together with what I'm calling some declarations of faith that I hope will get into your heart and that you will begin to pray into your life. And hopefully these three declarations of faith will guide this entire series as we make our way through it this fall. Let's get after it. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. If you're taking notes, all of the scripture references, all of the major points will be on the screen. Let's begin by first noting how we're defining faith. The word faith is mentioned 32 times in the book of Hebrews. 24 of those 32 times are right here in Hebrews chapter 11. It's an important word, not just in Hebrews, but in the entire Bible. So what is faith? Now, verse 1 was never meant to be a complete definition, but as we look at it, we do get some insights into what faith is. Look at it again, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. Now, I want you to underline some words, circle some words in your Bible, and let's just nerd out for a moment and look some word studies here, okay? First, I want you to circle the word faith, and I want you to underline in your Bible the words assurance and underline conviction. This is what the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who it is, but he says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Assurance, depending on the translation of the Bible you're reading from, it may use the word reality or it may use the word substance. The word means literally to place under, to support. It's this idea of a foundation, a solid guarantee. You do any word study, and most will mention that this gives the word picture of a title deed. In other words, you buy a house and you get the title deed to that house. That ensures, guarantees that it is yours. You might not even live there right now. You could just be driving by it, but if you have the title deed to that house, legally, it is yours. It's a reality. It's a guarantee. That deed is the substance that ensures that it's yours. And here, the writer of Hebrews tells us that faith is a solid guarantee, serves as the title deed of what will eventually be ours. Now, I need you to mark down two things about faith. One is that while there is a present reality to faith, the title deed is ours now, we don't take hold of it into the future. And so I need you to understand when we talk about faith, there is an element, one element to it is it has to do with the future. Okay, future tense, things hoped for. Secondly, whenever we talk about faith, we're talking about that which is unseen. It's invisible. So as we are defining faith, and in just a moment describing faith, we have to understand this, that whenever you talk about faith, it has to do with the future and it has to do with the invisible, the unseen. In our context of Hebrews chapter 11, you gotta remember, they put these chapter breaks in there well after, this is one concise letter. And the writer of Hebrews has been talking about faith for a minute. If you look in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, just look at the context that this Hebrews 11 is really a parenthetical chapter, if you will, between Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11 is just examples of faith, but he's been talking about it for a while. Look at verse 32, and we're going to talk about future and unseen, future and invisible. This is what faith is. Look, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, this is verse 32 of Hebrews 10, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. The writer is writing a group of people who, because of their faith, they've experienced persecution and they're thinking about giving up and giving in. The writer of Hebrews says, no, you got to endure. And how do you endure? He's going to say, by faith. Look at verse 34. For you had compassion on those in prison. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. That's future. That's unseen. You're enduring, you gave up stuff because you knew you had a better possession coming. Look at verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. That reward, it's future, it's unseen. They don't have it right now. For you have need of endurance, verse 36, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. It's future, it's unseen, that promise. For yet a little while, the coming one will come and he will not delay. That's future, the coming one, unseen. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their soul. So our faith, when we talk about faith, it involves the future and it involves the invisible. What we hope for. What we have a solid confidence in, we can't see with our physical eyes. Recall the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, the second part. He said, now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? See, the reason that faith is sometimes a hard pill for many to swallow, to wrap their minds around, is because by its very definition, it involves a future reality that we can't see. But just because it's unseen doesn't make it untrue. Look at the second part of verse 1 of Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance, the reality, the substance of things hoped for. But look at this. It's also the conviction of things not seen. That word conviction means proof. Some of your Bibles translate it as the certainty of things not seen. It's a legal term. It literally means evidence. It's as if a lawyer is coming into a courtroom. Whoever provides evidence, that's who wins the case. And that's what this word means. Commentator E.W. Bullinger said, it's evidence that is produced by demonstration. In other words, faith is not wishful thinking. There's a certainty to it, even when it's unseen. Why? Because our faith involves God, the ultimate unseen reality. Faith assures us that what we are hoping for, that what we are certain of, even if we can't see it, it is a reality. You could almost describe faith as the sixth sense. As humans made in the image of God, we all have senses, right? Like we have eyesight, we can see. Ears, hear. We can smell with our noses. We can touch with our hands. We can taste with our mouth. Don't be thinking about lunch right now, all right? That'll be a slow hour. The sixth sense, as people created in the image of God, is faith. And the Bible teaches, believer or unbeliever, that God has given every single person a measure of faith. Every single person, believer or unbeliever, has a measure of faith as God has given. This is Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Paul writes, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Each of us have some measure of faith, believer or unbeliever, and we walk in it every single day. Okay? Don't believe me? When we leave the church today, you're going to go over that bridge. You have no idea if it's going to collapse or not. You are going over it by faith. By the way, they tell us that they're ahead of schedule, and best case scenario might be done in the next month or so. Can I get a witness? All right. That's good. We're working with them. You keep being Christian as you go over that bridge, all right? We exercise faith. We go to a restaurant, and they bring us the food. We don't know who cooked that food. We exercise faith every time we take a bite that it's not gonna make us sick. We go to a doctor and they tell us, you need to do this to get better. You need to take this medicine. We exercise faith. We don't know if that medicine, what that medicine is. We just take it. My goodness, all of us traveled this summer. When you're going somewhere and you don't know what to do, what do all of us do? We put that address in the GPS and we, by faith, trust that GPS. We all exercise an element of faith. Having faith is not really the issue or the struggle. If we're honest, and I'm talking about those that don't know God, follow God, or believe in God. We'll cover the Christian in a moment. Let's just cover the one who's not a follower of God, doesn't believe in God. The struggle's not with faith. We exhibit faith every day. The struggle is, if we're honest, we struggle with faith in God. It's the subject matter, God. And isn't the thinking, I can't see, I've never seen God with my physical eyes, I've never heard him speak with my physical ears, I've never touched him physically. So how am I supposed to believe this? Like Christians, how can you believe Hebrews 11:3? that says the universe was created by the word of God so that what was seen was not made out of the things that are visible. How can you believe that? And what is the Christian response? We believe this by faith. Christians believe by faith in the ultimate unseen reality, God. And we believe that he started it all simply by the power of his spoken voice. He created everything out of nothing. How can we do that? Because of the eyes of our faith. Commentator Thomas Lee put it like this: eyesight produces a conviction about objects in the physical world. Faith produces the same convictions for the invisible order. For Christians, we believe in God and that he created everything that exists out of nothing by faith. And for the person who doesn't follow God or believe in God or have faith in God, however you believe it all started, a big bang, elements coming together, atoms separating, however it started, how do you believe that? The same exact way, by faith. Reminds me of the atheist who didn't believe in God. It's an old story, having a contest with God. And he comes to God and says, you know what? I believe that I can make man just like you. And God says, okay, go for it. And so the atheist says, here's what we'll do. We'll both gather some dirt and we'll start to make man. And so God said, get after it. And so the atheist started to gather dirt and God interrupted him and said, make your own dirt. The lesson is, it all started somewhere. Where did it start? For Christians, we believe it started with the ultimate unknown reality, God. And what gives us this assurance, what gives us this confidence, again, it's not wishful thinking. It's based on the revealed word of God, and it's backed by his character and nature. I mean, this is where it all begins, right here. What we're confident of, what we're assured of. Where do we base this truth on? It's in the revealed word of God. Our assurance of things hoped for. Our conviction of things not seen is based entirely upon God's revealed word that he has given us, i.e. the Bible. And it's backed by his character and nature. I want you to notice faith is not a feeling. Some want to chase a feeling. If we don't feel it, it's not real. Faith can affect your feelings, but it's not the same thing. Faith isn't figuring it all out. The thought is, if I could have all of the answers, if I could see it logically before me, if I could just put it all together, then of course I would have faith. But you look at Hebrews chapter 11, none of the people that are mentioned in there had it all figured out. They're there because they acted even when everything wasn't lining up. They moved when they couldn't figure everything out, when nothing was making sense. Listen to F.F. Bruce. He said this, theologian, their faith consisted simply in taking God at his word and directing their lives accordingly. Things yet future, as far as their experience went, were thus present to faith, and things outwardly unseen were visible to the inward eye. Paul put it like this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. I'll close with this definition of faith. When a few years ago, we had such a great number of people that were coming to Christ, like getting to know him personally for the very first time. And we wanted a way to disciple them in such a way that we could lay a solid foundation. I mean, when you come to Christ, that's the beginning. And you have to build on top of that step of faith and trusting him. And so we needed something to help give people so that they could lay a solid foundation so that when things went right or left, a curveball is thrown, that solid foundation stands. And so we created this book called Next Steps, and it's just a conversational guide. It's to take people through. It might take 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months, but it covers, like, you know, some sessions a week at a time that are very important to laying the foundation. The very first session is, what is faith? Because we got to know, what is faith? And Next Steps books defines faith like this: choosing to live as though God's word is true, because it is, backed by his character and nature. That's what faith is. Regardless of circumstances, my circumstances say one thing. And we don't live by sight, we live by faith. We're gonna live as God's word is true, regardless of circumstances, regardless of emotions, what I'm feeling, and regardless of cultural trends. This is defining faith. Now let's move into describing faith. And by this, I mean, let's answer some questions. What does faith do? Why is it important? How do I grow in my faith? This past week, we had our staff chapel. And we have staff chapel 10 out of 12 months of the year. It's just a time for our team to get together. We worship together. We pray together. We try to get on the same page. We always have somebody that speaks to us, mission, vision, inspiration, encouragement. We share wins, what God's doing in our church. And we always crown a champion of champions. I think I got a picture of the new champion. We give him a wrestling belt, the champion of champions. That's Andrea Martinez, all right? She's in our student ministry. She gets the champion champion, so she has to wear the belt around church all month, all right? If you see her, she puts it in her office. She's the champion champion. Well, this week, I was talking to him as this was our first chapel back, and I went a little deeper into the message that I preached this past week called Whatever It Takes. And I talked about those four friends that got their paralyzed friend to Jesus, and there were four points of having a whatever it takes mindset. You got to go back and listen to the message. But the second point was one of the pillars of having a whatever it takes mindset. Is that we must have faith that believes the impossible. Now, faith does some things for us, okay? And it does many things for us. There could be subsets out of all of these that I'm giving you, but let me give you three big things faith does, why it's important. Number one is faith saves us. Romans 3:28, the Bible says, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of law. You are not saved. Sins forgiven by being a good person. You are saved, justified by faith. It's God's grace in your life as a gift." That's Ephesians 2:8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So we've seen that God gives everyone a measure of faith, and it's a gift. Well, if you are a believer in the room, how did you come to this saving faith? God gave it to you. It is a gift so that no one should boast. It is a gift of God. And so faith is more, saving faith is more than intellectual belief. It's more than mental assent. I kind of put this wheelbarrow right here, okay? So let's just take my bridge illustration right here. Let's just pretend that bridge goes out. And we have a tightrope that goes across that bridge and it's over the creek. And we call someone in that can wheel this wheelbarrow across that tightrope because we got to get something to the other side. Now, he's got a resume and he's got a reputation and he can do this. We believe he can do it. That's mental assent. This guy's talented. He can walk this wheelbarrow across that tightrope from one side to the next. Okay? We have faith, intellectual faith. Saving faith is when he says, to get to the other side, you got to get in the wheelbarrow. See the difference? Saving faith is not just a mental assent that, yes, God, you exist, you're there. Saving faith is putting your life in the wheelbarrow and letting Jesus get you across. Saving faith is also sanctifying faith. I mean, the faith that saves us sanctifies us. We stay in the wheelbarrow. So first and foremost, why is faith important? It saves us. Secondly, faith pleases God. Look at verse 2. "For by it," faith, "the people of old received their commendation." If you look down at verse 6, "without faith, it's impossible to please him." Some translations of verse 2 say they won God's approval. How? By faith. Faith is the language God speaks. We all got a love language, right? Quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, giving of gifts. Well, the love language of God is faith. You want your life to please God more and more and more? It will not happen apart from living a life of faith. You read Hebrews chapter 11. Talk about describing faith. I mean, a living faith. Just read it. Hebrews 11. It involved taking risk. making sacrifices, bringing your best offering to God, embracing suffering, getting out of your comfort zone, believing God when asked to do the impossible. Hey, Noah, I need you to build a boat and it's never rained before. Trusting even when we're called to do something crazy. That's Hebrews 11. And yet all of these people are in Hebrews 11 because they said yes to God, even when it didn't make sense. They followed him, even if it cost them their reputation, and some of them, their very life. Champion Forrest, if we're gonna please God, we're gonna have to make sure that we are living by faith. That if God asks us to do some things on the outside that seem crazy, may not add up, may not make sense, let's commit now. That our goal is to please God above all, and we can't do it without a living faith. It's amazing, you look in Scripture, I won't stay here long, but in Scripture, Jesus marveled two times in the gospel at someone's faith. The first was Matthew 15. There was a Roman centurion who came to Jesus who had a servant who was sick and wanted healing. And Jesus said, fine, let's go, we'll do this. And the centurion said, you don't have to go, just say the word. Just say the word. I'm a man under authority. I know what it's like. If you just say the word, I know he'll be healed. And it says Jesus marveled at his faith. He said, I hadn't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Roman centurion. The second one is later on in Matthew, where there is a Canaanite pagan woman. And she comes before Jesus. And she has a daughter who is filled with demons, and she wants Jesus to heal her. And Jesus says something that on the surface seems pretty harsh. He said, I'm not gonna take the bread that's meant for the children and throw it to the dogs. He was talking about, that he came for his chosen people. He said, I'm not gonna take the bread for the children and throw it to dogs. And this Canaanite pagan woman says, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs of the table. And Jesus he was greatly amazed at this woman's faith. He said, woman, your daughter is good as healed. Jesus marveled at two people's faith, one a Roman centurion and the other a paganite Canaan one. You read the Bible, and who did he get upset with because they had little faith? His followers. Oh, you have little faith. His chosen ones, Israel. Matthew 13, 58, he couldn't do many miracles in his own hometown because of their unbelief, the people of Israel. And I just look at these instances and I think, dear God, I don't want to be put to shame by outsiders that have more faith in you than me who knows you. I want our church to be a group of people who we believe God for the impossible. And he looks on us and says, man, that church is stretching. That church is showing that they believe. Look at them acting on faith. They're getting out of the water and they're attempting to walk on it because they believe the impossible. Champion Forrest, let's be that kind of church. That's what God's calling us to. Faith saves us. Faith pleases God. Thirdly, faith unlocks God's power. We're told at one time in the scripture that two blind men come to Jesus and they want to be healed physically from their blindness. And Jesus says, do you believe I can do it? And they said, yes, we do. Matthew 9, 29, he touched their eyes saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. Faith unlocks God's power. It's his love language. Matthew 21, 22, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, if you say to this mountain, be taken and thrown into the heart of the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Now understand something. Size of faith does not matter. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's the smallest of all seeds. It's not the size of our faith that impresses God. It's the object of our faith is what we're after. God's a really big God. He can do anything. And so he says, if you have faith, you could say to this mountain, be moved into the heart of the sea. And it'll be moved into the heart of the sea. Faith is the currency that God consumes. How it must bring a smile to God's face when you're walking through a dark time in life and the storm clouds are over you, and your future is uncertain, and yet you're taking a step of faith day by day, that brings a smile to the face of God. How it must please God that when you're having struggle making ends meet, you say, God, I'm going to obey you. And I'm going to bring my tithe to the storehouse, and I'm going to lay it before you, and I'm just going to trust you. How that must bring a smile to the face of God because you're acting in faith. How it must move God's heart when you know you need to share faith with your friend, but there's so much fear there. What will they say? What will they think of me? And yet, by faith, you walk across the room, you make the phone call, you send the text, and you begin this conversation about Christ. How pleasing it must be to him. Faith saves us. It pleases God. It unlocks his power. If you want more of God, then we've got to start exhibiting more faith. How do you get it? You might be here and you're like that man who came and wanted his son healed, and Jesus said, anything's possible if you believe. And he said, help my unbelief. That's a good prayer to pray. How do you increase your faith? Romans 10:17 tells us very plainly. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You want to grow your faith? You want a faith that pleases God? You give yourself to God's word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. This is why every day you get up and spend time alone with God. It's why you get in life groups so you can talk about the scriptures. It's why you come to church so the word of God can be proclaimed over you. We got to give ourselves to scripture. As we give ourselves to scripture and then acting on what the scripture says, taking the step, boy, that faith muscle will begin to grow. It's amazing. So we've talked about defining faith, talked about describing faith. Now let's talk about declaring faith. Now don't confuse what I'm about to say here, speaking words of faith, with the word of faith movement that is in some pockets of Christendom, if it's even Christendom. Where if we just speak things, it'll come into existence. I'm just gonna speak that job. I'm gonna speak that pay raise. I'm gonna speak that cancer away. I'm just going to speak it into existence, okay? There's the Greek word for that is baloney, okay? Hebrew, hogwash, all right? We believe in a God, verse 3, who spoke everything into existence. We let him do the speaking, okay? Our job is to trust in his word by faith and submit ourselves to his good sovereignty and will. So as it relates to more faith, more God in our life, let me give you several faith declarations that are rooted in scripture. This isn't speaking anything but the word of God over our lives. And I put them in a form of a prayer. And I want to encourage you to write them down or take a picture with your phone and begin to pray them in your life every single day. What would happen, Champion Forest, what would happen in your life, in your family's life, and in this church? If we pray these three prayers, if we begin declaring this over our lives in prayer to the Lord, personally and corporately, let it apply. Number one, Lord, I choose to experience more of you by walking by faith and not by sight. So today, I don't care what I feel. I don't care what my circumstances are. Today, I am choosing to walk by faith and not sight. And as we do, we'll experience more of him. Declaration number two. Lord, because you can do more than I could ever ask, think, or imagine, Ephesians 3:20. I will pray bold prayers in faith and leave the results up to you. What would you attempt for the Lord? What would you dream about, think about? If you knew you couldn't fail, God can do more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And so I'm going to pray bold prayers in faith and leave the results to him. Faith declaration number three. Lord, nothing is impossible with you. I read that this morning in my time alone with the Lord. My New Testament reads Luke 1. Mary, angel Gabriel comes to Mary. says, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. She says, how can this be? And he says, nothing is impossible with God. Lord, nothing is impossible for you. If you can have a virgin give birth to the Son of God, if you can raise a dead man from the grave, nothing is impossible with you. So help me to attempt more for your glory. William Carey, the great missionary that took the gospel from England to India, his favorite, the quote that he's known for, it's written on the walls of the church in England, in the church that sent him out. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Nothing's impossible. So help me to attempt more for your glory. Let's go after more and have a living faith that honors our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me?
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.